pilgrimage is not always a slow, meditative walk, you know. A pilgrimage is, can be a rush, rush, rush affair. And I've just had an extraordinary encounter. And let me just tell you about it. I've just had a conversation with the oldest person on the Limerick pilgrimage. Well, to be exact, she's 97. She'll be 98 in October. And she's just been telling me what makes her happy. Part of the project which goes under the hashtag on Twitter and on the internet, Sound of 100. But it's just so, how would I say, inspiring would be the obvious word, so inspiring to talk to a person of 97 who fortunately, very fortunately, is totally clear in her mind and able to speak with a tremendously clear diction. So to talk to her about what makes her happy, well, you'll have to listen to the, you'll have to go over onto that audio collection, a different one from this, to find out the answer to that. But I just feel buoyed up, and I'm filled with a bit of sadness and regret, actually, that I'm now leaving the hospitality before the afternoon concert, the talent show, takes place. That kicks off at 4:30 on Monday afternoon. I have been on two other occasions to it, and I made a difficult choice yesterday that instead of going to that, I would go to a quiet place out the country where Bernadette went as a very young child. I don't know that much of the Bernadette story, to be truthful, but it's a place called Barthes, and it's meant to be very nice, and the idea of sitting in the shade in this, on a warm day, and chatting with my brother appealed to me. So I've left my mother to the concert, which I know she'll love, and abandoned her, if you like, and heading off now in the direction of the 4:00 coach. And it means I have 7 minutes, so I could slow down, but I don't feel like slowing down because I have a track record of being late for everything in Lourdes, and my brother will be convinced that I'm going to miss the bus. I have told him not to wait for me, so but it wouldn't be funny to, because there are consequences of being late on this occasion. He wouldn't have anybody with him. He might be very fortunate not to have anybody with him, but on the other hand, that wasn't the deal. So I'm going to keep up the old pressure on time, get to the coach ahead of schedule, and then I'll be able to relax. I'm watching all these people sitting in the cafe here with their feet up and drinking their beers and their ice creams and all that. And again the word that comes to me in Lourdes is balance. It is the combination of the spiritual and the commercial, the sacred and the secular. I won't carry on because I might, you know, the divine and the material that that work for me. And they work for me for a reason, because it helps me to think that humans are flesh and blood, atoms, molecules, DNA, all of that, who have evolved a capacity and a habit which we call spiritual. It's a form of experience, and I don't want to call it thought, and I don't want to call it feeling, but it's a form of experience which we say we have no evidence that other forms of life possess. And I'm even prepared to say the jury is out on that, because our science is only advanced to a certain level, so I don't want to say that there isn't a spirituality among stones, but I don't want to say there is either. So I'm just saying that we humans have evolved a capacity for spirituality, which has often been identified with being religious. You know, I, as a ardent, meaning heartfelt unbeliever don't want the word spiritual to be entirely privileged to be owned by the people who are self-consciously religious. I would not be fair, it would be misleading to call myself a religious person, but it would certainly be equally misleading to say that I am a man without spirituality. Now, I suppose some theologian would run rings around me on this issue, but that doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is the sensation and the experience I have of being early. I'm outside the Tara Hotel, and I'm here. I'm going to barter. Is that the coach down there? Great, thank you. There I was. I thought I'd arrived before the coach, but I'm certainly in plenty of time, and this is a new experience for me. So I suppose, you know, there are some people who like to have new experiences. There are others who want to draw more value out of their existing experience. I certainly like having new experiences and drawing value out of experiences I've had already. And I wonder, is my brother on this bus already? Bet you he is. I was right. He's on the bus. I got it right. I said, I bet you he's on the bus. My God, could I have a lick of that ice cream?
I was going to suggest you get one.
No, I don't want a whole one.
Don't you?
Here. I've just had tea and cake. Thanks a million.
I got that.
Turn off the audio boot.
Waves turn to smoke.
So we're on the coach heading for, is it Barthez? Is it?
Yeah.
Barthez, yeah. Barthez.
This ornate building coming up here on our left-hand side is the courthouse, the local courthouse, and also the School of Music.
I see a bicycle in somebody's house. A big mock-up of a cyclist. Maybe the Tour de France is going to come through Lourdes this year. I don't know. I know it's going to come through Tournai in Belgium.
That's where he lives and also works. And also on the right-hand side, we've one of the many small little town parks. Behind it, you have the conference centre and the local cinema. Just there in front of the cinema, you can see the bust of General de Gaulle, former president here in France.
Charles de Gaulle, 1890 to 1970.
On the left-hand side now, this green and terracotta building is the indoor market. And just beyond that, where the cars are parked, that's where the main market takes place every Thursday and Saturday. Fountain is just over on the left hand side.
Oh, yeah.
And as you can see, we're right up in the center of town. Just coming up here now in the middle of the road on the left hand side is the war memorial dedicated to those people who died during the First and Second World Wars. Underneath that war memorial is an underground car park which houses about 500 cars, and that was the original site of the parish church here in Lourdes during the time of Bernadette. perched high up on the hill there. Also on the left-hand side is the Chateau Fort. It dates back to 56 BC. And just in here now to the right-hand side, you'll be able to see the Parish Church of Lourdes. This green glass building on the left-hand side is the tourist office. And just coming up here now on the right, the blue and yellow building is the General Post Office of Lourdes. If you look to the left-hand side now, this building, grey building with the white shutters and the ivy grown on it, that was the original presbytery during the time of Bernadette, and it was to that house that Bernadette would go and tell the parish priest what the lady had said to her. Bowley Mill. 2 days later, she was baptised in the Church of St. Peter, the parish church, on the anniversary of her parents' wedding. In November 1844, when Bernadette was just 10 months old, her mother suffered an accident. She was badly burnt by candle grease and could no longer nurse Bernadette, and so Bernadette was brought out to Bartrez, a small village approximately 4 kilometres from Lourdes. She was brought there by her father to the home of a client of the Bowley Mill, to a lady by the name of Mary Arrivant, who had just lost her firstborn son of 13 days. This young mother accepted to act as wet nurse to Bernadette. For this service, Bernadette's father, Francois Soubirous, paid the sum of 5 francs per month. He came to Bartrez often to visit Bernadette. Bernadette returned to Lourdes in March 1846 when she was 2 years old. Mary Arrivant was by then pregnant with her second child. Bernadette grew up at the Bowley Mill with her sister Toinette and her little brothers until she was 10 years old. But she was to go back again to Mary Arrivant's house several times during her childhood. In the autumn of 1855, the plague hit Lourdes. Bernadette was 11 years old. She was cured, but the asthma she developed remained with her all her life. In the space of 3 years, the Soubirous family had fallen on hard times. In 1857, at the age of 13 and completely illiterate, Bernadette left home so that there would be one less mouth to feed. She went back to Mary Arrivant's house in Bartrez to work. She worked as a shepherdess, taking the sheep to the nearby hills around the village, and she also cared for Mary Arrivant's 8 children by this stage. During this time, she was receiving instruction and preparation for her first Holy Communion from the parish priest in Bartrez. But he left to go to a Benedictine monastery, and she had nobody else to help her, so she asked permission to return to Lourdes, to her parents' humble home at the Cachot. And so she came back at the end of January 1858, when she was just 14 years old. The first apparition took place 2 weeks later, on the 11th of February 1858, while she was out looking for firewood. At the age of 14, she was still illiterate. After the apparitions, she went to the school run by the Sisters of Charity of Nevers, the building I pointed out to you on the outskirts of Lourdes. And here she received her first Holy Communion on the 3rd of June 1858. 2 years later, she became a boarder, and 6 years after that, she left Lourdes to go to Nevers, to the headquarters of the nuns who had taught her. She was 22 years old. She took her vows on the 20th of October 1867. Her duties there included that of sacristan and nurse. Her health was poor, she was still suffering from the asthma of her childhood, and in addition she developed a knee tumour. She died on the 16th of April 1879, having had repeated attacks of asthma. She was 35 years old. She had spent 12 years and 9 months in the convent. Originally, she was buried in the chapel of St. Joseph at the convent in Nevers. Her grave was opened 3 times in 1909, 1919 and 1925, and each time it was discovered that her body was incorrupt. Her body is now laid out in a glass casket and is on view at the convent in Nevers. Unfortunately, it's about a 9-hour drive from Lourdes, something like 500 miles, and so we won't have the opportunity of seeing it. Bernadette was beatified in the presence of her brother, Father Bernard Pierre, who was also her godchild, on the 14th of June 1925, and she was canonized on the 8th of December 1933 by Pope Pius XI.
It certainly looks like a kite. Big bird. Just seen a big bird of prey. Not sure what it is. We're off behind a tractor. We're moving along. The tractor is about to turn left. And we're following the tractor. There's a man strimming the roadside with a long industrial strimmer. And I think this place we're going in the coach is only 10 minutes from Lourdes, so probably will mean that we won't have much more audio.
And just in front of us here, you should be able to see the spire of the church. This church was based on the upper basilica of the Immaculate Conception near the grotto. The church was built in 1878. Originally, it was a castle. It was destroyed by the English, who occupied this region in 1360. Now, as you can see, this little village certainly was never intended for big coaches like this, but I must say the drivers we use are excellent drivers, and touch wood, we never have any accidents at all with them.
4:20 by the church clock. Wonderful collection of logs piled up all over the place here, actually. Travelling over the railway tracks here. Really, really twisty road. Very, very well tendered countryside. A lot of.
Now, if you look to the left hand side there, you have a very good view of the Pyrenees. And the highest point in this area is called the Pic de Midi. There's a large observatory and a radio cum TV mast at the top of which serves this area. And apparently one of the scenes of a James Bond movie was filmed here. Now, we'll shortly be arriving into Bartres. And it's a small little village. There's only approximately 350 inhabitants living in this village. It looks very, very similar to the way it did during Bernadette's time. New housing developments are not allowed by the authorities in this village. There's very few children living here now, so the local school was closed down a number of years ago, and the children who live in Bartres now attend school in